Yes, it has been 50 years. Jaws came to theaters on this date and is being celebrated throughout the world today. We pay our respects by talking about the new book, Robert Shaw, An Actor's Life on the Set of Jaws and Beyond. Author Christopher Shaw Myers offers an intimate portrait of his legendary uncle, the acclaimed actor and writer best known for his unforgettable role as Quint in Jaws. Today does mark the 50th anniversary of the Steven Spielberg iconic blockbuster starring Roy Scheider, Richard Dreyfuss, and Robert Shaw as the weathered seaman Captain Quint.
Y'all know me. Know how I earn a living. I'll catch this bird for you, but it ain't gonna be easy. It's bad fish. It's not like going down the pond chasing bluegills or tommy cods. This shark, swallow you whole. Shaking, tenderizing, down you go. And we gotta do it quick. That'll bring back the tourists, that'll put all your businesses on a paying basis. But it's not gonna be pleasant. I value my neck a lot more than $3,000, Chief. I'll fine him for three, but I'll catch him and kill him for 10. And you gotta make up your minds. You wanna stay alive and ante up? You wanna play it cheap? Be on welfare the whole winter. I don't want no volunteers. I don't want no mates. There's too many captains on this island. $10,000 for me by myself. For that, you get the head. Tale, the whole damn thing.
The new book blends family memoir with cinematic history. Myers draws from personal memories, rare behind-the-scenes stories, and never-before-seen photos to explore Shaw's complex genius, as well as the turbulent shoot of Jaws and the lasting legacy of a performance that defined a film. It is a great pleasure to welcome Christopher Shaw Myers to the roundtable this morning. Christopher, thank you very much for being with us. A delight.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Happy Jaws anniversary. How cool is that?
Can you believe it's been 50 years?
I cannot. I cannot. What brought you, of course, there's the anniversary, but what brought you to want to tell the story of your uncle and what it was like? For obviously, you read a lot about his acting and about his career, but also what this film meant to that career, which was really a huge part of it.
Sure, yeah, it was certainly the biggest film in his career, not necessarily the best, although you could argue that it was that as well. But he did other movies that were Academy Award winners. And A Man for All Seasons, for example, and The Sting. But to answer your question, Joe, what brought me to write a biography, or as you called it correctly, a narrative biography, was not my uncle, Robert Shaw. When I was growing up, he was not Quint. He was not all that famous, but he was basically just my uncle. A larger-than-life figure in my life. Every time he came over and visited us and sat in our living room, or my mother, when I was a little kid, used to take me to New York City when she was visiting him. He lived in Britain and Europe, but he seemed to be in New York every few months for years and years for a play or a movie premiere or meeting with studio executives or whatever. And I just sat, was a fly on the wall, just laughing out loud, listening to my mother and Robert, you know, tell stories and talk about their childhood. So Robert was just my uncle growing up. And what actually inspired me to write this book was my own mother. I said to my mother about 10 years ago that you had a really interesting life. I think, you know, we should put it down on paper. And she thought about it for a moment, and then she said, No, nobody will be interested. So I came back to her and I said, look, let me outline this story. You, among other things, among a traumatic childhood, you went to Cambridge University, one of the few women to go, one of the earliest women to attend a university like Cambridge back in the 1950s. You fought apartheid in South Africa. You met with Nelson Mandela. You gave him your views on what he needed to do to end apartheid. Didn't work. Mandela was thrown in prison for 30 years, but she was in the thick of it. She came to the United States, worked full time while raising seven children, and when she discovered her employer was paying the men more than the women, she sued them and won her lawsuit. So I paused at that point and I said, and oh, by the way, Mom, you grew up with Robert Shaw. You knew him better than anybody in the world. You were his best friend from early on, and throughout your lives. You were on the set of Jaws. I think this would make an interesting story. And she then agreed, and I spent hundreds of hours interviewing her about their childhood and what was Robert like and how did he get into acting the first time and et cetera, et cetera. And when the smoke cleared, I had this book and we'll see where it goes, but it's a story about a family.
The name of the book is Robert Shaw, An Actor's Life on the Set of Jaws and Beyond. Give us a sense, you touched on this, but Robert Shaw was a performer, he was a playwright. He had these incredible films From Russia with Love, A Man for All Seasons, The Sting. And yet, like, true stardom really eluded him for a long time up until Jaws. So bring us to that point of where he was in his career before landing this role.
So Robert used to say, or maybe I should say complain, or note that he was an actor, a real actor. I think he was a real actor. But the movie stars tended to get bigger roles. Some movie stars are good actors and some are just so charismatic that people love to see them in a film, even though that actor is the same in every role. And I think, Robert was one of those people. He got this from his father, the ability to change accents and change his persona for each of his roles. But he was not the star of any of those films that he did prior to Jaws. Now, he took bad movies and made them good. He took good movies and made them great. Man for All Seasons, The Sting, Pelham 1-2-3, and whatnot. But yeah, it wasn't until Jaws that he really hit his own. And one of the things that he did in his career, and you touched on this, Joe, was he was a prolific actor, but he was also a prolific writer. He really had two careers. And Robert used to say that he was both an introvert and an extrovert. As an extrovert, he liked to act, liked to be on stage, loved the applause. As an introvert, he liked to be by himself writing. And while many actors have written a book or two, they're almost always their memoir. In this case, Robert wrote five novels, works of fiction, three plays, works of fiction, and numerous other TV scripts and movie scripts. Yeah, he was one of those rare people that crossed over between two different, very distinct genres, acting and writing. I can't, maybe Orson Welles would be another one. I can't think of too many other people that did it as successfully. He won or was nominated for an Academy Award for acting in A Man for All Seasons, where he played Henry VIII. And he was nominated for a Tony Award for writing a play, The Man in the Glass Booth, that ran on Broadway for a year. So he was in a small class of people that had that kind of broad talent.
What was it about the role of Quint that made it such a good match for Robert Shaw, the actor?
Well, he got that role from working in The Sting with Zanuck and Brown, the producers, who were also the producers of Jaws. And they saw just how good an actor he was and thought he would be great as Quint, and Spielberg agreed. I mean, certainly Robert had a, he came across in a lot of his roles as the tough guy, Right, he was the Russian assassin Red Grant in From Russia with Love. He was Doyle Lonnegan, the Chicago gangster in The Sting, and numerous other roles where he played a tough guy. So he could certainly do that. But Joe, as I said, I think he was more of a true actor than a star. And so he had the ability. I would say there wasn't anything specific to Quint's personality and the way he talked and whatnot that, was Robert Shaw. Robert simply put on a great performance and brought a gruff New England fisherman to life.
The play The Shark Is Broken, which was on Broadway, written by Ian Shaw, tells a lot of the behind the scenes and the drama that faced the production of this, especially in dealing with a mechanical shark named Bruce. But certainly from that and from what you write in this book and just from Hollywood lore, this was not an easy film to film.
No, it wasn't. And Ian is my cousin, and The Shark Is Broken is his play. He both wrote and starred in that play on Broadway, and kudos to him. It's a very funny play. I really enjoyed it. But yes, my book goes into this a little bit less than Ian's. It's my book is not all about all of the production problems, but I do touch on them. Steven Spielberg, nobody knew it at the time, right? He was a 26, 27-year-old. My mother called him a kid when she met him, right? To a woman in her, mid to late 40s, somebody in their mid 20s is like a kid. And in fact, when she first met him and Spielberg came up to the boat where they were sitting and waiting for their turn, for Robert's turn on camera, there we had a Spielberg and Robert had a little back and forth. And as he turned his little motorboat around and went back to the film crew, she said to Robert, "Who was that snotty-nosed kid?" And Robert said to her, "Joey, that snotty-nosed kid is a genius. Just watch what he does." I think Robert was one of the first people to recognize that Spielberg was a genius. But in the end, Spielberg got through all the problems, the production problems, the shark not working, and he just had a knack for turning a problem into an asset, right? Shark didn't work, so he created tension and fear by not showing the shark. Spielberg, I think everything that Spielberg touched in that film, and this is why, or one of the reasons why Jaws is still popular today. You can watch that film, and people do over and over and over, and you keep getting something different out of it. And again, that's, I think, a testament to the director.
When it comes to Robert Shaw and Quint, what did he say about the role at the time of what it was like? I assume that was an enjoyable experience to play such a large character.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody had an enjoyable experience filming Jaws. I know Spielberg, I've read, right? I don't know Steven Spielberg personally. I've read that it was a horror for him, not just a horror movie, but a horror of a production, because they thought it was going to be a 6-week production, and it turned into a 5-month production because of the shark, but also because of so many other things. The sky wasn't exactly the same color as it was the day before, or there's sailboats in the way, or the rain has started, et cetera, et cetera. And it just dragged on and on and on. So I don't think Robert had a great time filming it. But to your point, Joe, he was starring in what he thought, even as they were going through all the problems, he would say to friends and family, "This movie has great potential." And, he just hung in there with it to the end, like everybody else.
And as far as the film coming out in 1975, and then he dies in 1978, so doesn't really have the full experience of seeing what that film meant to so many people, and ultimately have an impact on his career for future roles.
I know he died too young, 51 years old. As both a writer and an actor, I'm sure he would have gone on to do, more very good things. And I wish that we could have seen it. But yeah, just was taken too early.
What was his reaction to the fuss over the film? The sensation it became.
Exactly. I don't know. I don't remember him telling me anything about that, or even like I said, I interviewed my mother extensively in writing the book. He had a whole bunch of very funny behind the scenes stories that he shared with us. And by the way, my original working title for this book was Show Me the Way to Go Home. And the reason that was my working title as I wrote it is because despite the trauma in their lives, my grandfather, Robert's father, was an alcoholic who killed himself when Robert was 12 years old. His mother was critical of everything they did. The family was plunged into poverty throughout their childhood and teenage years as a result. And they were dealing with World War II and the threat of invasion from Germany. But whenever I got together with Robert, my mother, or any of his siblings, they didn't talk about those things. They talked about all the fun they had as children and as teenager and all the antics and the trouble that they got into. And they just laughed and laughed and laughed. And they were very funny storytellers. So when it comes to Jaws, the same thing applies, Joe. Robert didn't tell us about, oh, it was just miserable. We had to sit around all day and then they couldn't even film and, et cetera, et cetera. He told us about how his mother visited the set and terrorized his colleagues and, all the funny things that happened. So, Show Me the Way to Go Home is my way of saying, wow, Robert and that family that he comes from had a lovely sense of enjoying life and setting aside everything else.
And he didn't like the book, right? I mean, there was some trepidation because he didn't like the original story.
Well, so Robert was a very literary person from a very young age. He was reading books and reading books constantly. He was extremely well read. He was, again, I mentioned that my mother was probably arguably his best friend in life. And from a very early age, they would read the same books and then talk about them together so that, they could bounce ideas off of each other. And when they were teenagers, and my mother was a couple of years younger than him, but when he wanted her to read Moby Dick or some other classic novel that has a very dreary opening, several chapters, he would tell my mother, skip over those first 5, 10 chapters and just, start here so that she wouldn't be put off by it. So they read all the classics, the Dickens and the Jane Austens and the Brontes, et cetera, et cetera. So when it comes to a book like Jaws, I mean, it was a bestseller. I read it when I was 17 years old, right? And it was a thrilling book. But it's not Jane Austen. It's,
No.
it's not Charlotte Bronte. Yeah, he thought it was, not a very well-written book, but he thought that the movie could be terrific. And that's where he drew the line between the two.
It is the anniversary, as I mentioned, and on this Friday, you are going to be a part of many of the activities that are taking place on Martha's Vineyard, which is kind of Jaws Central for this because it's where the film, where the movie was filmed. And so it must be quite a treat to be able to be a part of this 50-year celebration.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll be up there from Friday for a week. And boy, I am looking forward to a whole bunch of, very avid Jaws fans. So it'll be fun. We have all kinds of activities. I'll be giving a speech on Saturday afternoon about the book and about, my views on the movie and my uncle. Yeah, looking forward to it, Joe. I was at Jaws Fest, right? That's what it was called back in 2012 on Martha's Vineyard. And my mother, again, Robert Shaw's younger sister, was one of the quote unquote celebrities on the island. And people were literally coming up to her and asking her for her autograph.
That's
Now,
great.
she had, other than watching, the production for a week, she had nothing to do with Jaws. And she just laughed. It just seemed very silly to her. And so that's, a little bit where I'm coming from. I was not involved in Jaws. I've simply written a book that captures, I think, my uncle and his family that he grew up with. But people are interested in hearing about it.
The name of the book is Robert Shaw, An Actor's Life on the Set of Jaws and Beyond. It's published by Citadel Press. Christopher Shaw Myers, thank you so much for being with us. It's a delight to have you on the show, Chris, and I thank you. Have a great week coming up.
Thank you, Joe. It's been a pleasure.
Be well. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, Robert Shaw. It's published by Citadel. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.